Welcome to the Shared Desk, episode 74. Not shouting into my microphone. That's the name of this game.
But still talking before the music dips.
I need to talk before the
yes,
music
you do.
It's my thing.
It's your thing. Hey, everybody. We are back. We are actually able to get on the mics with a voice, not sound overly congested. It is the Shared Desk, and I am your host, T. Morris.
One thing I know is that my allies and I had just obliterated the largest horde of rabid zombies I'd ever encountered, and then suddenly, out of nowhere, Chief Wiggum 49 and Halo is my bitch 12 decided to frag me.
I love that drop-in.
What's that from?
It's from Sleepy Hollow. That was Ica Hotbox. Got that from Billy Flynn, the wonderful Billy Flynn over at GeekRadioDaily.com. And sitting across from me,
I'm Pip Valentine.
You would not want to be staring like that at me.
So just watch yourself.
But it's so hard when
just
you're...
Just watch yourself.
When you're Ian McShane, it's hard not
it
to
is.
Stare.
I would stare
wow.
at you, Ian McShane.
Big, big shout out for American Gods on Stars. Wow.
Okay. You know what I'm enjoying? I'm enjoying all these different takes on the supernatural, the superhero genre. Like we've had Legion.
Oh, Legion
and
was
then,
amazing.
We're having American Gods, which is also.
And like we talked
different.
About on the last one, we had Iron Fist. Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh,
I'm
don't
so,
talk
oh,
about that.
Ouch. Oh,
no
I'm so sorry.
That.
Private Pile, I'm going to give you 3 seconds.
Only 3 seconds.
Exactly, 3 fucking seconds to wipe that stupid looking grin off your face, or I will gouge out your eyeballs and skull fuck you.
That was not a good series, the Iron
no,
Fist.
No, you hear me, Danny Rand?
Yes, Danny Bland.
Yeah, but, but the Defenders trailer.
Oh, the
looks
Defenders
good.
Trailer looks pretty.
I
tight.
Love the fact that Luke Cage is not taking his shit.
You're
he's
the
just,
what? That,
you're the what?
I need to isolate that. I'm the chosen one. You're the what? I mean, it was Luke Cage just going. I ain't got time for your white boy shenanigans. I'm gonna mess
Why
you
am
up.
I in the room with you?
Yeah. Oh man, and then that great snark with you look ridiculous. It's your scarf. I mean, oh man, it looks like.
I'm looking
like,
forward to that.
I think they're going to make amends with it. I think they're going to make amends with it.
So yeah, we were quite sick.
Yeah, during Raven. Well, you didn't. You didn't
I didn't
go
get
to RavenCon
Raven because
and,
I was so sick.
RavenCon.com.
But you managed, and
you
then you came
missed.
Back.
You were Aww. Missed, by the way. Dave Lee was really upset that you
weren't
well,
there. We're going to catch up with Dave
Did
at.
Did he not look great? In
yeah.
that Warhammer 40K.
Yeah, yeah. You gotta catch up with Dave at the
Motor City
SteamCon in Detroit,
yep.
Michigan.
Yep.
Coming up in
there.
The summer.
Yep, we're looking forward
so
to it.
So I will make my best effort not to be sick then.
That's right. So then after you got sick, you got better, and then I got
I
sick.
I thought you'd missed it.
I thought
you'd somehow dodged it, but no.
And then,
it was one of those twisty, turny JFK bullets that came back around.
Man, that virus just snuck up in my throat, and I'm like, oh, crap, here it
yeah.
comes. And I tried to defy it. That's the thing. I pissed it off by going for a run
no.
with my running partner.
And
in
then
the
you came back and you had the sore throat.
And I had the sore throat, and I'm like, it's going to be
it's
bad.
It's coming in.
It's coming in.
Uh-huh.
And I'm still a little snotty, yeah. but I'm hanging in.
I managed to finish the audiobook of
Immortal
the recording of Immortal Progeny.
Yeah, that's right.
I should be able to deliver that to ACX for approval this week.
Huzzah. So, nicely yeah. done, baby.
But yeah, it's funny when I'm editing myself, you can hear me just going.
Yeah, maybe a little bit of this. Hey, a little burialism right here.
Yeah, like that. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
So, just as a professional, I would say edit those out.
Yeah, exactly.
You don't have to edit
you
yours
heard
out.
Heard it here on the Shared Desk episode.
Edit
74.
Out coughing and blowing your nose. It's
so,
not what they want to hear.
So, actually, today we decide. Actually, tonight rather, we're not only going to debut a brand new segment.
Woo-hoo!
But we're also going to finally get caught up on some of those voicemails.
Yes.
We've got, and so instead of hearing the typical bumper that we play for voicemails, it's going to be a voicemail show. We heard from some people that we've never heard from before. We
Yay,
heard from some people
like
that we always hear from, which is fine. Oh yeah. Quick side note: we got our first email, for Happy Hour from the Tower over at happyhourfromthetower.com.
Nice cross promotional
from Germany.
Oh.
We've got a listener in Germany, and I'm
oh,
like, hot
best.
Damn. And they invited us to go on a raid. I'm like, that is so freaking cool.
That's very nice.
I know.
You're welcome.
So,
shut up.
If you don't think T. Morris is podcasting enough, we can.
I know.
Happy hour from the tower. Also, you're going to be kicking off a podcasting for dummies companion podcast.
We're going to resurrect
That's coming out around the book.
Actually going to do it the month before the book.
Okay.
Just to get some hype going.
So it's going to blend into the release of the book.
And then somewhere in there, I'm actually trying to make arrangements. We're trying to make some arrangements with Chuck Tomasi that we get me out there somehow. Mm-hmm. And then we're going to do a day-long...
Podstravaganza?
Podstravaganza. Because, I mean, when you think about some of the hardcore podcasters, some of the original podcasters...
Well, Evo and Sheila aren't there.
No, Evo and she aren't out there, but...
It's a bit of a haul to get to them in Thailand.
Mike Menengay is there.
Yeah.
So's TD0013. The Iron Man of podcasting himself, Jack Mangan, is out there.
How many people are podcasting, though, from that group?
That's just it. None of them are.
Aww.
But it'd be nice to have like a little reunion, you know, get
you
the band
wanna,
back
you
together.
You just want to have a pool party.
Yeah,
admit
pretty
it.
Much. That's the
You've
other thing we
You've seen Chuck's
do.
Pool and you
then,
want it.
Well, Chuck's pool is actually Mike Menengay's pool. Chuck bought Mike Menengay's house.
I hope he cleaned it afterwards.
What?
I hope he cleaned it afterwards.
Oh, he did. Now, the studio I can't talk about because, I mean, that's also Mike Menengay's studio. And, I mean, the last time in there I should probably isolate that as a drop-in. Jack Mangan saying, T's touching me. And it was
Aww.
After we had, yeah, those were the days.
Sweet memories.
Those were the days.
Now, another
Can
thing
I
with-
get a hell yeah?
Before you rudely interrupted me with a hell yeah.
Exactly.
The other thing we're going to be doing is Tales from the Archives. We've got
Tales
enough...
Tales from the Archives?
Enough audio in, I think, that we can start producing
build a
that.
Yeah,
we're going to produce four episodes, and then we're going to start dropping them. Because otherwise...
It was five, honey.
Was it five?
It was five. This is what happens when you collaborate with your loved one.
Four, five.
Sometimes she listens to you. Sometimes
we have stories from Liana, Renee Heber, and Katie Brisky. I've got a story, and I think Phil's finished
Phil Rossi. We've got Tom's.
Yeah.
And I'm supposed to have a story. I'm supposed
yeah,
to bring,
you
gotta, bring
you
gotta
check over
50.
A couple of those stories and
yeah,
your
gotta get on
copious spare time.
Oh, jeez. Yeah.
So that's our little podcasting roundup. Should we listen to some people
so
talking to
ahead,
us?
Let's go on ahead and let's get to a
some
voicemail.
Interaction.
Yeah, this voicemail. This is terrible. This voicemail is actually from 2016.
Jeez, mind you, it feels like not that long ago,
not
but it's
long,
a long
yeah,
time
yeah, because,
ago as well.
As you all know from listening to the podcast. This has been a really, really bumpy 2017, but things are starting to right themselves. Things are good. Had a great RavenCon.
Yes.
We've already been invited back.
Yeah.
So that's going to be great. And now we're back here.
So we're catching up.
We got our voices back. So here we go. From episode 69, here's some voicemail from Brian Weber.
Hey, T and Pip, it's Arkel, aka Brian Weber. You've read some of my emails on there before.
Hey, no, Brian.
I don't usually call in, largely because I just don't like the sound of my own voice.
Seriously, you're a podcaster.
Considering I podcasted for several years.
Yes,
but,
you did. Your voice sounds fine.
Well, besides that, I'm also on the way to work right now, and I was just afraid I would forget what I was going to say about
that's
the
best time to send in a voicemail.
Yes, we love our
so,
mobile.
Two quick things.
Okay.
You mentioned D&D stories. I think probably my favorite one involves my dad. He had this great story where he was in a game with his mom, a few other people. I think mom there, too. I could be wrong about that.
I think that's cousin or uncle.
But it is probably the most famous... It is the best example of famous last words in a D&D campaign I think I have ever heard in my life, where my dad went, and I quote, "Let's break down this door and butt-fuck the orcs."
Oh, fair enough.
Wow, here we go.
To say that session ended with a TPK probably goes without
Total
saying.
Total party kill.
Got it, yeah. Got it.
And one last point, you mentioned doing a MagFest panel on bad movies with a good soundtrack.
Mm-hmm.
One you might want to consider, and believe me, I was shocked for this one too, but Twilight Eclipse.
Ooh.
That means we'd have to sit through it,
is
though.
Is amazing. It's got stuff from, I'm going off memory here, because I obviously don't have it with me. Florence and the Machine. Band of Horses. I think Current 93 is on there, although I could be wrong
Sounds
about
like
that.
Sounds like they spent more time on the
yeah.
soundtrack.
Yeah, that is a great
maybe.
Soundtrack for an awful, awful movie.
Take that under advisement.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's all I wanted to say for the episode. Congratulations on making it to 69, because
Woo-hoo!
I know
I
you're 12.
Yes, we're 12.
We're 12. Thank you.
So I would return that. You know what else was a bad movie that had a good soundtrack and it's Twilight adjacent?
What?
Abducted.
Oh, jeez. That was the one we watched
Taylor
with Damon.
Lawton and his eyebrows.
We watched that with Damon Swade at RT last year, and where he was riffing on it. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, man. Cinema Craptastique. It's Damon Swade's jam, and it's an amazing jam.
Yeah, I think he does it at Coastal Magic in Florida every year. Yeah. And he finds some craptastic movie. And, I have to say I like his dad's... methodology of kicking the door in.
I'm actually kind of surprised that
that's my Ashime.
That's your Ashime role right there. I mean, now granted, you know, I think Arkell's dad did have some poetic last words, but not along these lines.
At least I have chicken.
You know what I mean? Now, if his dad had said that after they kicked in the door, that would have been pretty epic.
But going to D&D, obviously, I'm very excited that at the moment she is able to. Expand yourself up to nearly 13 feet tall.
I thought it was 14 feet.
It's just under 13 feet.
Okay.
But that is, of course, my dream as a short person. But apparently, next level, I'll be able to triple in size, so I could be like 21 feet tall.
Oh, heck yeah. Heck yeah.
But, I mean, obviously, when you're that big,
if I remember correctly,
you're just a target.
We were in the middle of a boss fight. Last last gaming session,
yes,
right?
Oh, yes, sweet memories. Yes.
Yeah, by the time this drops, we're going to be... hopefully wrapping up the Red Hand of Doom.
Yeah, we've been playing for a while. It's been a lot of fun. Yeah. But undoubtedly for my character, her personal favorite where was she did a leaping attack. And because
everybody was standing in line.
So she cleaved 278 hit points of people in front of her.
Pretty freaking epic.
The funniest thing is, as I keep reminding in the podcast, is she's supposed to be 17. I'm like...
She's 17 with rage issues. That's what she is.
A 17-year-old with rage issues.
Rage issues.
Yeah.
All right. So now we're going to go to show 71 and a familiar voice from podcasting chiming in for the first time, I believe, on the shared desk. This is pretty exciting for me.
Ooh-hoo.
Hey, guys. Chris Laster here. ChrisLaster.org, MetamorCity.com. Calling
you
in
did that
with
on purpose.
Some feedback on the shared desk, episode 71 about imposter syndrome. And Hamilton. I was listening to you guys discuss the imposter syndrome problem and noting how some people seem to get it and some people do not. And I have a hypothesis on this. You guys are familiar with the big five personality traits, sometimes called the ocean traits.
I'm assuming there's
the last
the
of
letters.
The five is neuroticism. And
maybe not.
I have a theory that those of us who rate highly on the neuroticism personality trait, such as myself, are more vulnerable to imposter syndrome than those who are not. Because I'm pretty sure that Pip is one of the least neurotic people who I know.
I've got many
problems.
All right,
I'm going to stop you right there. I'm going to stop you right
there,
Lester.
I've got many problems, but I don't think I am neurotic.
Yeah, no. You can be kind of neurotic at times.
Really?
Oh,
give me an example of how I'm neurotic.
I'm glad you opened that door and I could step through it. So,
because I don't know if you know exactly what neurotic is.
Well, this is the way I would describe neurotic. I am trying to get a straight answer out of you about upgrading the the PlayStation.
That's not neurotic.
What
that's
is that?
Passive aggressive.
Oh, really? Is that what it was?
That is passive aggressive.
I always thought neurotic is like it's
no
you're
neurotic
like shifting
is
sands and you're just
no
you're,
neurotic is more like you're worried about you know. Things.
Yes, and you are worried about making. You're worried about about getting on my bad side. Yes, you are.
No, I'm not worried.
Really?
No.
Fine.
I could take you.
Hey guys, Chris.
Oh, wait. Okay, I'm gonna have to. I'm gonna have to go into a different mode so I can skip to that part in the voicemail. I think that's here.
So edit out this bit.
On the subject of Hamilton, it's really funny because my experience with Hamilton has almost exactly paralleled T's. I stayed away from it during the big craze of last year, and then I went and saw Moana in the theater and was so
he got you around the back
with it.
Yep.
Particularly for me, it was the song "How Far I'll Go."
Oh, that is
that
a beautiful
really
song.
Captured my imagination.
Girl's got
just
a great
stuck
voice.
In my head for days
great
after
voice.
That.
Yeah.
And then you knew.
And then one of my coworkers brought in the soundtrack to Hamilton, and so we were listening to that. And it was when I heard the Battle of Yorktown, the world turned upside down, that
Yorktown.
I just got this swell of emotion and thought, okay, I need to go back and listen to this from the beginning.
So real quick trivia on that. That was the number they did, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
That was the number that they did at the Tonys. Because we watched it on YouTube.
Yeah, I think so.
And
yeah,
we saw that. We saw the choreography.
Yeah, the choreography
was
really
pretty
good.
Tight. I didn't, you know, but you know what I enjoyed more? I enjoyed more, and Chris, I'm going to suggest that you see this. Look up YouTube, Lin-Manuel Miranda at the White House.
Oh, yeah.
And it was Lin-Manuel Miranda and a piano player. And he basically is pitching to this room full of people. He's pitching to them
Hamilton, yeah.
And he said, I'm going to write a, and I said, I got this idea. I'm going to write a musical about one of the founding fathers of hip hop. Alexander Hamilton.
And everyone laughed.
And he went, you all laugh now, but you're going to be killing yourselves to get tickets for it.
And he was right.
And he was right. He was freaking right.
I love a man with confidence.
Yeah.
This from the beginning. There's a thing that Lin-Manuel Miranda has said about his creative process that I thought would be interesting to discuss on the show. He really denies the idea of being a creative genius.
But
he says, I'm not a genius. I just work really, really hard.
Then that makes me a creative
genius.
He
talks about how one of the songs in particular took him a year to write. But I'm going to push back against that idea because I don't think that genius and hard work are mutually exclusive.
No, I don't think so either. I think you need to be
both. I think that there are some people who work on things very fast and they finish them very fast. And then they move on to their next thing. And there are some people who labor over their creative works and really spend a great amount of time crafting them before they are what the artist wants them to be. You know, this is something that Malcolm Gladwell talked about on his podcast, Revisionist History, in his episode called Hallelujah, where he talks about Leonard Cohen as being an example of this second type of creative genius, where he would labor over a song for months or years before he was happy with it. In some cases, he never was happy with it. And I think Lin-Manuel Miranda falls into that second category of genius, where he has to labor over something for a long time before it reaches its final form. And I think that's okay. I don't think that people who have that creative process should think of themselves as any less than the folks who can compose a artistic piece fast and then move on to the next thing. Certainly, composing fast is more profitable because it means you get to make more content.
True.
But I don't think it makes you more of a genius. I think it's just a difference in how your brains work. Mm-hmm. I'd be interested to hear what you guys think on this topic of genius versus hard work. That's all I got. Loving the show, and I'll talk to you guys again soon.
Bye, Chris. Bye-bye.
See you soon, Chris. So this is the thing about genius.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think geniuses know that they're geniuses. If you come out and you say, I'm a genius, people look at you and go, you're a pompous jerk. I mean, it's a bit like when people say, you know, people come in and they go, oh, wow, you're one of the pioneers of podcasting. I'm like, no, I was a guy that in 2004 needed to figure out how to pimp a book.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh, podcasting a novel, that would be cool. And now here I am.
Yeah.
And I don't think geniuses, you don't realize that you're a genius until either you're dead or the White House gives you a medal and or the Kennedy Center gives you a medal and says, here, you're a genius. You know, I mean, you know, people like Billy Joel and, okay, Bob.
I think there's just different kinds of creative people. There are the people that just spark it and they write it in 2 minutes and they're done. And I think there are those people that are grafters. You know, they've got to work to get something done. There's no difference. It's the end result that matters.
And really, hard work is hard work. I mean, you know, we've said it before. Chuck Wendig, is because of his journalistic background, he can crank out books.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't mean he's not working hard.
Yeah.
I mean, he is working hard. And he's really good at what he does.
Yeah.
I mean, I just think that genius is a very relative term. And I think that you can, I think hard work is a constant.
Mm-hmm.
You can be a genius, and you could also be a frustrated artist and still work hard.
I Einstein even worked hard. I don't think he just, it wasn't like a bolt from God or anything. Yeah. He worked on it and decided it.
So thanks, Chris. Always happy to hear from you. Now we're going to get up to our last episode, which was before we got sick.
Those are the days.
Yeah. Episode 73. And first one up, a very familiar voice on the podcast.
Hey, T. It's up. This is Nobilis Reed.
Nobilis Reed.
Contacting you about
Wikiredia.
The idea of going back to old stuff.
Right.
Is that what you're talking about?
Something old, something new.
It is real common for a reader or someone who's enjoying some kind of property to come to the end of that thing. And be really, it's a really depressing moment to get to the end and know that's all there is.
That's when you know you've done your job.
We've all experienced that, though.
I know that I felt that way personally when I was very young, when I was reading Watership Down. And I got to the end, and there was no more to be had.
Yeah.
And my impulse was to write more. So I actually wrote, my very first thing I ever wrote, sitting down at my grandmother's typewriter, writing Watership Down fanfic about Kahar, because he was a character I loved and I wanted to see more of. So, writing fanfic is something that people can do if they feel like they want more, and make more.
That's true.
Now, it's not okay to go, like, try and sell it.
That's true. That's
people can certainly write it. And another thing that I think that people should be aware of, that I think we don't mention very much, is that there is a Ministry of Peculiar Occurrences role-playing game.
That's right.
So if people want more of that world, they
make your own adventures
that way.
Yeah.
And heck, there's nothing stopping people from going and creating their own role-playing game session in Bilbo Baggins' universe. I think that would be because it's you know, a well-trodden world of, you know, Prohibition era Chicago, a real simple matter to throw the session to say, okay, we're going to play in the world of Bilbo Baggins. So it's not like when you get to the end, that's all there has to be. It's just all there is from you.
That is true. That's a good way to look
at it. So I encourage people who feel that way when they get to the end of something, to go and write some fanfic or play a role-playing game. That's great fun, and keep that feeling alive of being part of that world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks for giving me a few minutes.
Oh, yeah. Well, I think we've worked out. I've heard of a lot of people that started off as fanfic writers, like Nobilis. Mm-hmm. The very first thing they did was fanfic, and then along the way they developed their own properties and ideas. And
if
stuff.
I remember correctly, we were actually getting hits once upon a time of an online role play.
Yes.
That somebody was doing with Eliza in Wellington.
Yes. I did not want to.
Our agent suggested that what?
We don't read it because that would be weird. That would be...
No, I wanted to see where they were going with it, but our agent suggested that would be a little hinky because, you know...
Maybe once we've finished with Eliza and Wellington, yes.
If we can track it down.
Yeah. Oh, internet remembers, darling. Internet remembers everything.
Well, the funny thing is, this actually reminds me of another podcast that I listen to. There's a podcast I listen to. I gave him some ink in the third edition, but there was a podcast called the Steamrollers Adventure Podcast.
Yeah,
and Mike Riggs, the guy who is the story, he's not a dungeon master, he's not a game master, he's the story crafter,
mm-hmm.
and this is his role playing game based on his books.
Oh,
and he basically created this D20 role play game around his books, and it's pretty fascinating to listen to, and he really does a nice job with it. So, yeah, I mean, absolutely.
It's a nice outlet.
It's a great outlet. So I think Nobilis absolutely knocks it out of the park with this. And, you know, if people wanted to do role-playing games and stuff like that, you know, hey, we've got one. Follow the link in the show.
Yeah.
You can pick it up yourself. And we've got expansion packs and all that great stuff.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, it doesn't have to stop. It's only when people try to make money off of it.
Yes, then we get a little cranky.
We get a little bunchy. And here's our last voicemail for the show. New voicemail caller, and always happy to hear from this
long time listener, first time commenter,
first time caller.
Hi, guys. Steve Pritchard here, longtime fan, Facebook lurker, and finally first-time caller.
As you said.
Just finished up listening to, oh, gosh, what was the most recent here? Of,
it's episode 73.
Shared Desk, and wanted to call in for a few comments, namely for the notes for Billy, and since you had the notes listed for things going on with it. As I said when the Kickstarter didn't pan out, you're just not writing the story right now. You never know. Someday you may come back to it. As of right now, you got bigger fish to fry, like you said. I mean, life happens.
Yeah.
You got family to take care of.
Directions to take.
The bottom dollar is you got to have money to come in. So, hey,
that's
more power to it. Do what you need to do. But you never know, folks. You may come back to it. So always keep those fans running.
And his patron reads
the
patronage for that too $1,000
a month. There you go. Keep copious notes instead of somebody further down the road decides, hey, if they want to write in Billy's universe, you could make sure you have plenty of notes since you wanted to have the story go and not have some hack just tear up your story. But anyway. I haven't had a chance to see any of it yet, but just from the feedback I've seen from other writers on Facebook.
Oh, about Iron Fist.
Steve Barnes, Steve Perry, oh gosh, who else has seen it? And they've all pretty much said the same thing. They pretty much chimed in with what you guys said. The martial arts was a lot of the responses were mixed, but still it was very poorly received. And they felt the writers really were rushed and really didn't take the time to polish what they needed to do for the story. So anyway,
first draft blues.
Anyway, that's pretty much all I had to say for now. And you guys keep being as awesome as you guys were.
Aww.
Thanks a lot, Steve. Thank you so much. Thank you, everybody, for calling in. Now,
we always love voicemail.
Normally, we don't wait this long, but we had a lot of other topics come
She's
ahead of
bubbling
it.
To the surface.
And then, of course, we got sick. That didn't help. But, you know, we're always happy. We're always thrilled when we get voicemail, email, comments on the blog. So, by all means, stay in touch with us, and you'll wind
How
up on the show.
How would they do that, T-Mars?
Well, there's 703-791-1701. That is the voicemail for the Shared Desk and Happy Hour from the Tower and any other podcast that we happen to do under the Imagine That bubble. Then you've got email. You can you can reach me at t@tmorris.com. You can reach Pip at
pip@pjballantine.com.
And then, of course, there's the blog, thesharedesk.com,
yes,
where if you leave a comment on the show's post, we'll go on ahead and we'll make that
answer to that.
We'll answer that too. So thanks again, everybody, for calling in. Thanks a lot for joining us on this this voicemail show. And hey, if you've got an idea that you want us to talk about,
if you want us to ask something, weigh in,
ask
on something,
questions, we will gladly
opinions
turn that into a show itself. But
bouquets, brickbats. Do you have that in this country?
What?
Oh, they used to have brickbats, bouquets or brickbats, which is like, I love something.
She's talking foreign again.
I love something that's a bouquet, or I absolutely hate something that's a brickbat.
No, I do
I'm
not
just
know
making
that
stuff up. No, yeah. I'm not. Or am I? Well, I'm messing with you. Am I?
Speaking of making stuff up,
let's go make some stuff up.
We are debuting a brand new segment. Here we go.
Overcooked on the bottom, crispy as fuck, and it looks like Gandhi's flip flop. What a shame.
What the fuck did you put in that sauce?
You're about as fucking consistent as pigeon shit on Trafalgar Square. Get it out of my kitchen!
That's right. It's What's Cooking, Writers?
Oh, What's Cooking? Now, this was suggested.
I'm having more fun making up the bumpers than planning for the show.
Well, Gordon Ramsay is.
He's our spirit animal in the kitchen.
Well, no, because right, otherwise we'd be killing each other.
I'm going to give credit where credit's due. Tommy Garza gave me this idea today.
Yes.
He was commenting that we should start up a brand new podcast on cooking because
yes,
we are constantly putting up pictures of all the food that we are making in at the Morris home. And I thought, well, it would make a pretty neat segment on the Shared Desk because we do cook. And it's not a bad thing because I'm finding out that not only do a lot of writers kind of sidestep the whole cooking thing because they can't be bothered with it, but just people in general are doing that. And that's a real shame. I mean,
you know what? If you were just talking about writing and food, when you are describing stuff in your books, if you know what a hot chili tastes like, what mole tastes like.
Well, I mean, I remember I mean, I've written a lot of stuff over the years, but the one thing that everybody went back to
yeah.
was that spaghetti that I was,
yes.
the spaghetti scene between Al Capone and Billy. And,
I mean,
and
it's
Billy.
A universal thing. If you put in something about taste and food, people are like, ooh. I mean,
yeah.
our friend Piper J. Drake,
oh,
she
Piper
bakes
J. Drake.
A whole
PiperJDrake.com.
She posts recipes
Jeez.
That she makes.
That girl's a...
You know,
when she and Matt Drake visit, we put on 10 pounds.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just her walking in the door.
Yeah,
and it's
that's
like,
right.
oh, wait, now my pants don't fit. Great.
Here comes the pull apart bread.
Yeah, here you go.
And also, honestly, if I was going to get really philosophical about it, I would say when you try other people's foods from
yeah.
different cultures,
yeah.
you start to have an idea of where they're coming from and what sort of culture they've got.
So we're going to kick off this brand new segment, What's Cooking Writers.
Let's talk Virginian culture.
We're going to talk about the culture that is it is not just a Virginian culture.
It's a Southern thing.
It's a Southern thing.
Southern American thing.
And ironically, we are practicing it at this house because of the Southern Hemisphere. Because last birthday, my 48th birthday, I found out how much my in-laws loved me.
Yeah, I think you're okay.
Yeah, Pamela and Roger Ballantyne gave me, as a gift, an electric smoker.
Mm-hmm. Little knowing
that I was going to...
Become obsessed.
Become slightly obsessed with this electric smoker. So let's go ahead and let's...
So, you know, if there was a giant, like, tornado and it was me...
Okay.
Or the smoker.
Okay, hang on.
You can only grab one.
You have no room to talk like that. Because I'm going to... All right, so quick story about the smoker. So we had tornado force winds happening here in Virginia a few months ago. And at one point, the winds were so bad that they kicked over the grill.
Which
is a big grill. I mean, it had a full tank. It's a big grill. But somehow the winds got underneath it, picked it up, and dropped it. What does Pip do? She stands by the door, which you're not supposed to do in a high wind situation, and she is watching that smoker like a hawk. She told me, T, I was ready to just throw myself.
I was like, if it starts moving, I'm going out
there. I'm going out there. Save the smoker. Save the world.
Yes.
It
did have a big rock sitting on it. So
yes, it did.
Was...
So the model that I have is Charbroil only makes one electric smoker. It's a digital electric smoker with smart chef technology.
Admit it, you got it because it's got an app.
No, I didn't. I didn't realize it had an app until I got it.
I thought you knew that.
Now, here's the thing that I'm a little shocked at. I'm looking at it right now on a website, and it's only got, out of all the reviews that it have, it has 2.5 stars out of 5, which in
that's
my opinion,
probably related to the app, because when we got it, the app was not that. It kept crashing.
It was not a good app.
They have updated the app recently, and it seems to have got a little better, don't you think?
The app needs improvement. Mm-hmm. So let's start from the beginning. We're going to talk about smoking meats. Mm-hmm. Now, here's the first thing that you got to understand about smoking meats.
It's a religion in the South?
Yes, it is. It is a religion. You can get, and like most people, there are people who are practicing the religion, and they are walking the promised, they're walking the path to the promised land, and there are other people who are blasphemies, because they're using they're using liquid smoke, which is not the same thing.
Who would ever do that?
No. So the first thing you got to do is you got to accept one thing about smoking meat. This is not something you do quickly, and you don't do it as an impulse.
No.
No. You plan for
it. This is like a 6 to 8 hour journey.
Yes. Picture a smoker, whether it's a gas smoker, whether it's an electric smoker, or whether it is a wood fire or charcoal smoker, it's an all-day thing.
Yeah.
And it's not like you can it's like a crock pot that you have to keep an eye on.
Well, you don't want to leave it unattended.
No, you don't. You can't. And so when you're smoking stuff, just plan that is going to be your day.
Yeah.
Period. You're done.
Well, that's not a bad thing. You have to be there, but it's not like you're sitting next to it.
No, for six to eight hours. No, but you are. You're not.
It works well for writers though, because you can put it on, do some writing or editing.
3 hours and then 2 hours, then you do a 1 hour sprint, and then boom, it's time to eat. So there's that.
Of course, when you're talking about ribs and you're talking about the way we do them, some people call that blasphemy. I'm just going to warn you now.
What?
The way we cook ribs.
Well, screw them. Because you know what? You're doing
it
wrong.
The ribs taste really good.
You're doing it wrong. So let me explain to you. Let me impart upon you my dear listeners, some of the zen of smoking that we have discovered. First off, one, when people go, oh, you're smoking, well, then you're going to have mesquite and you're going to have hickory, right?
No. There's a whole world of woods out there.
Amateurs. Here's some of the woods that we're dealing with. Applewood, cherry wood, peach wood, orange wood, maple, pecan.
Alderwood.
And that's that. Those are the seven that we chose out of how many that you
looked
up.
Yeah, there were a lot. Yeah, you can, if you go on Amazon, you can buy
starter kits.
Starter packs. And some of them are like 36 different kinds of woods.
I mean, it's insane how many different woods you can smoke with.
Yeah, but so, I think some of my favorites are the cherry because I like the sweet.
Yeah.
That goes really well with pork.
So there are a lot of websites. Charbroil's got a great website. That's charbroil.com. And you actually have graphs that tell you if you're smoking this, you should use this.
Yeah.
Like with pork and beef, you should use softer, sweeter woods.
Fruit woods. Yeah,
yeah, fruit woods. Whereas with chicken and poultry and fish, you want to use the harder woods. Mm. Now, we sometimes get loosey-goosey with that because it's like, you know what? I like that strong wood taste.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to do like the one we did this past week, the one that...
For Mother's Day.
I did a combination. And that's the other thing, too. It's not just a matter of saying, well, I'm gonna smoke with cherry wood.
No. You smoke with a mix. Now, are you doing a 40-60?
40-60, 50-50. I do 50-50.
Okay. Yeah.
So like this last one, I did a mix of hickory and alderwood.
Uh-huh.
And then...
That was really good.
Yeah, well, we're getting to that point.
Yeah.
So then you've got... what you want to smoke. Mm-hmm. And there's a method to the madness when it comes to ribs. When it comes to ribs, sometimes people do the whole, we're going to stick it in there, bing, boom, we're done. But yeah. With ribs, to really do ribs right,
you're going to get into arguments with people because they have different ways of doing them. But
and
this
you know
is
what?
Our preferred way.
No, this is the only way you should be doing it. And you have the voicemail.
Now you're a smoking fanatic.
I'm hanging them on. That's
yeah,
what I'm doing. I'm
bring
on.
It. Well, this is our method. Well,
so it's a 3-2-1 method.
And it has worked very well for us.
It's
that's
worked phenomenally well. So what you do is before you put anything in there, and that's the other thing too. If the recipe says 6 hours,
yeah,
that's 6 hours of cooking time. But it's actually going to be 7 hours because you've got to give it an hour to heat up the chips. That's what gets the smoke in there, right? All right, so you've got an hour for the chips. Now, while you're doing that, in that hour, you're going to be rubbing your meat.
Yeah.
Take that any way you want, 703-791-1701.
We're 12 years old. First, you pull off the membrane.
Yeah. Yeah, you got to pull off the membrane. Basically,
on the back of your ribs.
On the back of the ribs. And then you start rubbing the meat. So what are you rubbing your meat with? Wow, this suddenly turned dirty, didn't it?
All kinds of herbs. I mean, the whole world of herbs and spices is
okay.
Open to you.
Our favorites, and I'm going to put the link in the show notes, it's the Tea and Spice Exchange.
Yeah.
They have a place in Alexandria. They have a place in Annapolis, Maryland. That's Alexandria, Virginia.
And Rehoboth Beach.
And Rehoboth Beach, Delaware, the home of Dogfish Head.
Convenient.
Yes, very convenient. And they have a backwoods hickory barbecue rub that is to die for. A lot of there's some cinnamon in that mix, some garlic, some smoked cayenne pepper.
Yeah.
Phenomenal.
Yeah.
So you can get that, or if you can find it, and I'll see if I can find the a link in the show notes as well. There was a you see this at a lot of farmers markets. It's called
it's
the butcher's blend.
Yeah, it's in a tin.
It's a butcher's blend.
I mean, I think if you went into any Whole Foods farmers markets, you'll find a bunch of different people selling a bunch of different blends.
And
I mean, that can get as complicated as what wood you're going to use.
Yeah, that can get
so
very
a little experimentation is fun in that respect.
And there's but you know, anytime you go to any of these little mom and pop or hole in the wall tea shops,
like the
one that we're going to in Mechanicsburg.
Yes,
in Pennsylvania.
The Rosemary House is what it's called.
It was called the Rosemary House, and they had something called Roast Mary,
which was very, very nice.
That works.
We did try that, didn't we?
We tried that with the chicken.
Yeah,
it was really good on the chicken. So, and then we didn't do that this time though. And of course you can also get the rubs that Charbroil has their own line of rubs. You can go into the
but
it's important that you put a rub on, some kind of rub
to give it that starting flavor.
Give it that starting flavor, and you let that smoke for 3 hours.
Uh-huh.
After 3 hours, you take it out, and that's when you build the aluminum foil boats.
Package, yes, the little package that you're going to put your ribs in. And then you put in just a small amount of liquid. Now, it can be
any kind of liquid you can use.
We have used honey. We've used a maple cider, which is really good with
maple
pork.
Stout cider
from
Cobbler Mountain.
We've used beer for beef.
Yes, we've used and for the beef and pork ribs.
Mm-hmm.
We've used and it also depends on the kind of beer you use.
Yeah.
Since I know Nobilis is listening, do we use the Uber Hoppy beer?
No.
You use Festina Peach. You use Midas Touch.
You use something
that's got some fruit or some type of sweetness to it.
Anything that would be too bitter, I would think.
We did try Winchester Works cider, which is the driest cider I think that worked. There was another dry cider.
Cider
we tried
works really well with pork. I think if you're going to go with anything with pork.
Yeah,
but the fact that you've got that. Liquid in there really gives the meat a lot of tenderness.
Yeah.
It's not going to become tough at all. It's sort of giving a little.
So you wrap up the ribs and you wrap up the ribs
and seal it all in a packet.
And seal it in a packet with whatever alcohol or non-alcohol you want to use. If you want to use apple juice, you can use apple juice. But you want it to be something sweet and fruity. Put it in there and then leave it in there for 2 hours.
2 hours.
After 2 hours, you pull it out.
Take it out of its packet.
Now here, this last hour is up to you.
Yeah.
You can put them right back in and then let them smoke for another hour and boom, they'll be ready.
Or you can smother them in.
Not smother, just lightly baste them
in barbecue sauce.
In a barbecue sauce, either homemade or your favorite store-bought. We are very partial to Rufus Teague made some sauce.
Yeah, he makes a maple whiskey.
It makes a honey. It was
a honey barbecue.
It's just a honey barbecue, and that was what I used this past weekend.
And we've never had a problem with the ribs. The ribs have always been
pork ribs have been
really
fantastic.
Tasty, fall
you can,
apart.
You can ask when Lauren Scribe Harris from LaurenBHarris.com was here.
We meted.
Yeah, she needed. she was low on iron, so we got her beef ribs. We got
That's
her
right.
beef Angus ribs. Which were a huge hit with her. I knew it was a good setup because nobody was talking.
Yeah, just eating.
It was just nothing but eating. So
we've got some good use out of the electric smoker. When we first got it, there was a little bit of swearing trying to work out how it worked.
The app.
But now I think we've worked it out pretty well.
But that's the electric smoker.
Yeah,
I mean a charcoal smoker. Or a gas smoker isn't going to have these issues. But it is still worth mentioning that these rules that we're coming up with, you know, for how to do ribs apply. Now, what about other things? Okay, the other thing you want to know about when you're smoking with chicken.
Poultry.
Is you want to do something called spatchcocking.
Oh, my gosh. This.
I think I'm going to have to give this a
12
an
years old
rating.
Again. Yes. So, I love a good spatchcocking.
Well, yeah, I bet you do.
Do you want me to tell you how to spatchcock?
Go ahead.
You get a pair of scissors.
How do you like being spatchcocked, baby?
You get a pair of scissors.
Ow!
Chicken scissors. And you basically cut on each side of the spine of the bird.
That's how Dad did it. That's how America does it.
America.
And it's worked out pretty well so far.
So you basically are cutting out the backbone, and then you kind of crack the chicken and lie it flat. So you've got the wing and the drumstick lying on one side, and then it's kind of so it's flat.
Men, don't piss her off.
It's a trap.
I know how to wield the chicken scissors.
There you go.
But that means
Scott Sigler would be proud.
But that means that the chicken gets the most smoke over the surface area.
Right, and that's
and
all
it
poultry.
Cooks evenly.
That's chicken. That's turkey. We haven't tried
duck yet.
We
did do turkey for Thanksgiving.
We did,
and it was very good.
Yeah. But now here's
brined that turkey. We spatchcocked that turkey, and we ate that turkey.
Inappropriate.
now here's the thing. We did not do any of the 3-2-1 with the chicken.
No.
We left the chicken
in
there. Yeah, we did it. It's only for ribs you do that. You don't even do that for brisket.
No.
Now, I will say though, brisket, and then this is what we're going to close the segment on. Brisket is the toughest thing to do.
Yeah.
Because of two things. One, God, I am 12. That's a thick piece of meat.
Yes.
And and smoke slow cooking a cut of meat that thick is hard. And so there's that. Then there's another problem with brisket. If you get the wrong cut of brisket.
Yeah.
Because you don't want to get the center. No, you do want to get the center cut. Because there was a brand of a brisket that I got, and it wasn't the center cut. It was a different cut.
It was like
it was chewy.
Flapple. It was not.
Yeah.
It was quite dry.
Yeah, and it was dry.
I think, you know, if you're going to start off with smoking, start off with ribs.
Ribs.
Because they're the easiest thing to do.
It's the easiest thing
to
do.
And then work your way up to a brisket.
And
or spatchcocking.
So if you want to hear about some, and like I said, this is not going to be a regular segment. Well, this is going to be a regular segment. Every now and then, because, you know, we're taking pictures of food, we're doing Blue Apron, and we're having some adventures with the smoker. If you want us to try a recipe, if you want us to try something out, or hey, if PJ gets back on the mic and has some food stories that she wants to tell.
Oh, you know, we still have, if anybody's out there and wants to try Blue Apron, which has nothing to do with smoking,
BlueApron.com.
But it is a very interesting service that we've been using since
it's
September.
Been great. Yeah.
Then ping us, you know, somehow on social media, you know, email us, whatever. We have 5 free trial weeks.
Go ahead.
For Blue Apron.
So there you go. Blue Apron, you're getting free advertising here on the Shared Desk. So, this is dropping on Wednesday.
Yay!
And that means that Thursday, we are off to the Nebula Awards.
A beautiful downtown Pittsburgh.
We've notified your friend in Pittsburgh, right?
Yes, I have my... strangely enough, I think we've discussed Kate before.
Yeah, we have.
But she was one of the exchange students when I was just a wee nipper of 15, 16 years old.
Small, small world.
Yes, and now she lives in Pittsburgh. So maybe we'll have a chance to catch up with her. But if not, we will be catching up with the likes of Piper J. Drake and Lauren B. Harris and Katie Brisky.
And
getting the
also
smoky writers.
Matthew J. Drake is going to be there. And Scribby will be there as well. Yes, Scribby will be there as well. So we're gonna
own this town.
We're gonna get here. We go.
And he's gonna edit that. But
and no, I'm not. Screw it. We're gonna fire up the H4N. Gonna get everybody together. We're gonna have some drinks, and we're going to riff about the nebulas. So
that's gonna be fun.
That's gonna be a lot of fun. The Smoky Writers Mafia returns.
Now we're also gonna be doing some panels there.
Yes,
we're going
we are.
To be talking about a hybrid, I think, small press something something something.
We're also gonna be doing a Facebook Live with a group called, I can't remember them off the top of my head, but Pip is looking that up. We're also going to be talking about podcasting as well, I'm sure, because writing excuses.
Pronoun is the
pronoun. There you go. Pronoun's going to be there doing some Facebook Lives. We'll be there as well. And then on Friday, there's going to be open to the public a full-on author signing.
Yeah, like 8 o'clock, I think.
Big
I
time.
It is.
So if you're in the Pittsburgh area, or if you got some books you want to get signed, and guess what? We're going to be there.
Just say hi.
You know, they don't even have to be our books. We'll sign them. That's fine.
You don't have to. I don't think you have to pay any sort of.
No, it's free to the
public.
Free
just,
and open to the public.
You know, charge in with like armfuls of books. We don't care.
There you go. Then later this month, end of May, we are going to be doing a 1-day appearance at Balticon. We're not going to be on any panels.
We're just going to do a drive-by.
We're just going to do a drive-by, say hi, and if you see us there and you got your books there, we'll sign them. That'd be great. But you know, Balticon is not about us this year. We're just going as attendees, get caught up with friends, and then come on home. Then in June we have AwesomeCon.
AwesomeCon.
I'm going to be there. I'm going to be giving the big score talk. So I'm looking forward to that. I will probably be in the company of Nick Kelly, so keep an eye out.
It's the 16th to the 18th of June.
Yes. And that's going to be a busy weekend because...
it's also Father's Day.
It's also Father's Day, so there you go. Happy. And you know what I think I'm wanting for Father's Day? I want my photograph taken with Stan Lee.
Oh.
I think I want to go on ahead
get
and
get in
that.
On that.
Get in on that.
And then just looking a little bit further ahead, 14th to the 16th of July, we will be in Detroit, Michigan at the wonderful Motor City Steam Con.
So there you go. That's where we're going to be throughout the summer. We got more events coming up, so just stay tuned over at theshareddesk.com. You got the voicemail, you got the emails to contact us, but what else do you need to know? You need to know that the Share Desk is protected by a non-commercial, no derivative, share alike United States 3.0 license, and you can find out more about that license at creativecommons.org. So thanks for listening, everybody. We are back. We're looking forward to talking to you again in 2 weeks.
And not getting sick.
And not getting sick. Until the next show, enjoy the ride.
Catch you later.